Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Okay, it is Dom time. Dom's Money Melody coming up in about 10 minutes. Ian Pryor, this guy was incredible. He burst onto the scene with us because of all the nonsense that goes on in the Virginia, Maryland areas with these very progressive district school districts and towns. And he's involved in the case this week heard before the Supreme Court when Dan and I were in Washington, involving parents who's saying, what do you mean we can't opt out over these ridiculous books with pre-K and first grade kids, etc.? You can't because too many people want to opt out. And a lot of the people wanting to opt out are Muslim parents, which throws another complication in. And Judge Ketanji Brown on the Supreme Court actually said, well, you don't have to go to a public school, go to a private school. Yeah, these people don't make enough to be affording that, and you would strike down school choice. So you're telling them they just have to submit to this craziness still going on in government, much of it even illegal based upon executive orders. He'll be here to lay it out, and it's a case that I think the Supreme Court's going to be 6-3 on. Maybe even one of these judges might say, come on, what do you mean these people can't opt out? You got to make accommodation if you want to go with something talking with 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, trying to indoctrinate them. No, parents don't have to put up with that. The story that's driving stuff right now, and progressives are reacting, they're saying, this is Trump's America. He's going to disappear judges now. So we have the judges. Are they going to die on this hill? The judges in New Mexico, well, the judge and his wife locked up. They had a Venezuelan drug gang leader living with them, allegedly. And there were all kinds of things that Pam Bondi said about this Venezuelan gang member. How didn't they know? No, they knew, and they tried to destroy allegedly evidence of their knowledge. And then we have the judge telling the ICE officers waiting in the courthouse to go to talk to the president judge in Milwaukee. And while that was happening, allow this guy here illegally, who was in court because he allegedly beat up a woman, among others, to escape through a private exit. And they're trying to say that we're ratcheting up. Trump is ratcheting up. No. Dan, can we dip into Fox now? This goofy mayor of Milwaukee on now saying he thinks showboating's here. Here's the mayor, Cavalier Johnson, the mayor of Milwaukee.
Not necessarily that they're like an investigation.
Again, I don't know all the things that happened there, but I'm saying that the way that they went about this in this ham-handed, haphazard way that this administration has been doing since day one, it's driving people away or has potential to drive people away from participating in court proceedings, which makes our community less safe. I want people to go to court. I want people to have their day in court. I want people to hold folks accountable in our judicial system. But the actions of this administration are driving people away from doing that. And that's not good for public safety in Milwaukee.
All right. Let me break that down with this guy. Thank you, Dan. Cavalier Johnson. This is what we hear all the time, why we can't go against people to hear it legally. Oh, if you do that, they're not going to report anything. I don't care if they report it or not, then. That's on them. And this idea that it's grandstanding, locking this judge up there, they should have taken her out in shackles. This that was done to many people here. And they sent a message, no, you're not going to harbor people that beat up women or are gang members in your home, and you're not going to remove them from duly authorized people, the ICE agents, who have every right to be there. And this is a good place to catch up with this guy. Would this judge rather have them try to catch up with him on the street or in his home if he's armed? That's why they're doing that. So the hero of this week, and you're going to see more intensity on this. It's already starting now. Diane Marseglia hasn't weighed in that I know yet, but she will out in Bucks County. It's Fred Aaron, who was on the show on Wednesday, the sheriff there, who is partnering with the task force of ICE around added powers to assist, particularly with people that are here illegally, with criminal behavior. And I think Bucks County officials, I have not seen Republicans, will do it. I think they ought to have a ceremony for this guy. I think we ought to give him awards to send a message. No, you're not going to kill us. You're not going to attack us. We support people like Heron who are protecting people across this entire area. Because these illegal criminals from Philadelphia, they go to the suburbs too. If he catches them there, helps to catch them there, I want to keep a list of that. So this mayor in Cavalier Johnson, the mayor of Milwaukee, both saying it's grandstanding to be picking up somebody illegally who is violent at the courthouse, and also complaining it's grandstanding going after the judges. Now, this is a good day. Locking up the people in New Mexico and the wife who harbored, allegedly, this guy that was in the drug gang. And we don't hear about Mr. Garcia the last couple of days. They're calling for a boycott of El Salvador. Who's going to El Salvador? What are we boycotting? And just like the NFL draft, Madeline Dean is on the clock. Remember, she told us, here's Madeline Dean, Henry, this at her town hall. She told us about this. This is Madeline, cut one.
That the Republicans can get into the prison and do photo ops and everything, and Senator Van Hollen can't talk to him or get in to see him or...
I don't know, but I'm very proud of Van Hollen for going there. We are also looking for a trip for me.
Uh-oh.
I will do everything in my power to go there. And I don't know about you, we had a slide where we had all those white sheets. Here's a word I didn't think I was going to be using. The disappearing of people. When did we start thinking about the disappearing of people? I mean, I'm somebody who cares about words. We're a family that cares about language and words. And people are just disappeared off the street. That man was disappeared from his child. In front of his child, he was disappeared. And you saw the way they treated those men without humanity. Shaving their heads, making them look like they are less than, disappearing them. So I'm damn proud of Van Hollen, and we, members of the House, will go. We've asked for a trip, a congressional delegation. The majority will never approve that, so we're just going to go on our own dime.
Oh, that's, when do you ever pay for anything? The hypocrites of the year. That's the dean of decency, okay? She went on to talk about how she has a tattoo and her son has several.
Can play that as well.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's a good one. It's shorter. Are they going to be disappeared?
And wrote that beautiful poem reminding us any one of us could be disappeared. My son has a lot of tattoos. One of them's a crown. He might be disappeared. I have a tattoo. My husband thinks we should write an article. My son and I might both be disappeared. You just don't know who might decide to judge you with extraordinary powers and disappear you.
Sitting comfortably out there in Bluebell, the dean of decency, before she goes home to her mansion, which was built, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer, on the backs of people making bicycles under very difficult, if not horrific, duress in China.
Decency.
And she brought up the decency when she was first running. There was a rainstorm. A guy shows up all rained on. And he said, I walked through the rain to get and see you. Go to Washington and restore decency. You know
decency.
What that meant. That's right. Trump is indecent. You're decent. You're Madeline Dean. Goofy people in Montgomery County. You got the Dean of Decency. You have the Mr. Softy guy there. What is in the water in Montgomery County? All right. So it's amazing. They seem to have given up a bit on Garcia. They can always pivot back. But now they're going to go on this judges thing and how we're making people unsafe by taking people off the streets in a controlled environment where he probably can't have a weapon, who beat up a woman and maybe multiple. And in the other case, taking the judges in at their home and the wife, who were harboring, according to a lot of material out there, a vicious gang member from Venezuela. You can't make that one up in New Mexico. What is this judge thinking, though, that the Trump administration, the FBI, is going to let her get away with this? They're not. They're going to come after you even harder here. They're sending a message. You can think you're going to keep on howling in this manner, as Democrats are. That's not going to stop it. America supports this as we come to the 100 days. It may not support the tariffs and some of the situation going on there, but they certainly support Trump on the border, illegal immigration, and stopping criminals. All right, right now, though, as usual, it is time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
By the way, I have to read it again in this manner. You will win a pair of Fandango movie codes to see Thunderbolts from Marvel Studios only in theaters May 2nd. Still, is that the gag? You can only see it one day? It can't be.
No,
it just can't be. No. You could probably see the movie.
Is that word only? Why is that in there?
Yeah, in theaters May 2nd. You know? Well, trying to distinguish, it comes to the theaters on May 2nd.
Yeah,
you can see the codes that way.
You know why? Because all the streaming releases, it's saying it's only in theaters. Okay.
All right. So you can do it either way. Henry or Dan, what do we have?
So obviously today, that side question, we're asking for those all-time Nepo babies. Of course, I'm going to bring you a Nepo baby for the Money Melody. It's only fair.
Yeah.
So this Nepo baby is the daughter of two famous actors. I just kind of want to leave it at that, but I'll give you a little tidbit here. She is also the star, or one of the stars, in a very popular TV show.
Tell the network. Come on.
All right.
I don't want to tell the network.
No, you got to tell the network.
Fine. A very popular Netflix show.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to play a bit of her music, as she's also into the music side of things as well. I'm going to play a bit of her music. I want to know who this actress is. All right, let's take a listen.
Can I give a clue about his mother or her mother?
Of course you can do that.
Sure, why not? You're going to do it anyway.
Yeah. All right, her mother received a Buddhist upbringing, spending altogether around 2 years in India before moving to Massachusetts. Yeah.
Wow. I just want to know, is that song ever over? This woman, I'm not listening to this. Like, let me bow out. Sorry to listen.
Say a much better actress than
I hear you. The pace. Oh, my goodness. All right, so... We're looking for the better actress, not the singer here. She's both.
Yeah, she's both.
She is. Okay.
Yeah. Give her the name.
Yeah, hit us with that, and you'll be able to...
Let's say, Dom, her father appeared in one of the all-time favorite movies of Dom Giordano.
Oh.
Yeah.
It includes my top 10.
An actor who's usually a comedian, but acting in a dramatic fashion.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's a grandstand, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think I got it. 855-839-1210. You get in. By the way, too, the winner this week, in addition to that, on the side question, this is our favorite of the week, $50 gift card to Gallo Seafood and Harb's Burger Bar with Jim Harvey there in Northeast Philadelphia. Visit them online at gallosandburgerbar.com. And that has been for umpteen straight weeks. Let's keep it going, Jim. All right, hit us with that. We'll get more on the side question, too, coming up on Talk Radio 1210.
It's Dom Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
That's right. All right, it's an actress. There's a nepotism thing and a bit of a singer here. Identify this person. Here's the clue. All right, Jason in Clarksboro. Hey, Jason, afternoon. Who is it?
Maya Hawke.
Wow. All right. There you go. We'll put you on hold. That's hard to believe. Nicely played. And So it's Ethan Hawke. Dan, you say you think he broke out in Dead Poets
Society.
According
to Wikipedia, that was his breakout role, was Dead Poets Society. 18 years of age. Yeah.
No, he was only 18 and a half. Yeah, I remember. He was a central character pulling toward standing up there. And Dead Poets Society, the scene at the end where they all stand on top of their desk is... He's one of the leaders of that.
Curious, oh, yeah, Dom knows, though. Do you know who the mother of Maya Hawke is?
I
want to play this along.
Okay.
So you once took a call from a good friend of hers when he tried ringing into OGL, and you took the interview, remember? Tarantino often used a female in his films.
She was the lead, or at least one of the leads, in three of his films.
Yeah. Oh.
That's her biggest three movies by far.
Yeah, I don't know.
Uma Thurman.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
And she spent some time in India, Dom, as a Buddhist, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And it should be noted that if you don't know who Maya Hawke is, she plays Robin in the hit Netflix show Stranger Things.
There you go.
I did not know who that is. Okay. So is she a Nepo baby, or is she a Nepo baby but not bad?
It remains to be seen.
Okay.
I don't know if I've really seen her in anything else besides Stranger Things.
Look, I don't know. She's very... She looks a lot like Uma, I gotta be honest.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't get Ethan's genes.
I mean, she's been in Inside Out now. She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because of Quentin, right? So.
Right, yeah. That was more of a...
So I think it's kind of Nepo-ish, right?
Yeah.
She might have had, like, a line in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I don't
even
remember her being...
So, Ethan Hawke is the trainee in Training Day. I believe that's Ethan Hawke. Yes.
Yes.
He's very good in that role. And I think that was the first, maybe the only Oscar for lead that Denzel won for, which is shocking to me. It's not a great film, but his character is one of a kind.
I also love Ethan Before Sunrise. That's a great movie.
Yeah. Now, he's an art film guy, too. I saw him in something else. Okay. Now, a little bit more on some of the cuts Dan provided from Pam Bundy. Apparently, this judge, it's being claimed now, in Milwaukee, knew that this Flores Ruiz guy was wanted by ICE, who were outside the door. She led him to a non-public area of the courthouse, private. A foot chase ensued. Now, can you imagine this mayor saying public safety? A foot chase ensued throughout the entire courthouse, and they apprehended him ultimately. The judge was visibly angry that ICE was there to arrest him. So tell us again how making them have to race through a courthouse with potential other criminals, et cetera. This woman has to go to jail. All right, Dan, you have a little bit more of that? Yeah, okay.
I have the cut from earlier if you want to replay it.
Yeah, okay. I don't remember saying that part, the courthouse.
Here you go.
Okay.
Deportation agents out of the courthouse.
Yeah, okay. And to set the stage for you and Sandra, this was truly horrific. This guy was in court being prosecuted by a state prosecutor for domestic violence battery. He had beat up two people, a guy and a girl, beat the guy, hit the guy 30 times, knocked him to the ground, choked him, beat up a woman so badly they both had to go to the hospital. And John, you know, it's so rare for victims to want to cooperate. They wanted to cooperate. They were sitting in the courtroom with the state prosecutor. The judge learns that ICE was outside to get the guy because he had been deported in 2013, came back in our country, commits these crimes, charged with committing these crimes, victims in court. Judge finds out. She goes out in the hallway, screams at the immigration officers. She's furious, visibly shaken, upset, sends them off to talk to the chief judge. She comes back in the courtroom. You're not going to believe this. Takes the defendant and the defense attorney back in her chambers, takes them out of private exit and tells them to leave. While a state prosecutor and victims of domestic violence are sitting in the courtroom.
Yeah, the part I mentioned that I was a little bit new to me, and they said it at the beginning, the chase ensues across the entire courthouse. That's what they said initially on this. I mean, these people have to go to jail. She's got to be out of there. The guy in New Mexico and the wife, they are going to go to jail, I would predict. Democrats are now saying, look at Trump. He's ratcheting up even more. And you know what America's saying? My God, put him in jail. Put him in jail for a long time, both of these. How's that making us safer? Their actions here. They just think they'll get away with it. They're judges. You can see it in Philadelphia. Every day they do whatever the heck they want. Krasner could potentially do something like this. I wouldn't put it past him. Nothing's going to happen to me. The Philadelphia Inquirer's on my side. Let's go to Jeff in Hatboro on the Nepo baby thing and Jamal Bowman. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, nice pleasure to talk to you guys.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'm the other Jeff from... The neighborhood, yeah,
okay.
I have to bow to.
Okay, we've got two Mr. Jeffs Clark. From Hatboro, yes.
yeah, Mr. Bowman, I mean, I guess he just started following the NFL, too, you know. He puts these comments out there, and it, you know, reminds me of Smollett a little bit. There's people out there, I think that being a racist is worse than a pedophile. You know, and that's just ridiculous. You know, there is no DEI in pro sports that I ever have seen.
I would say this potentially in the past, or so I would say now it's very limited because, again, I mean, here's a case in point. Look at Howie Roseman.
Why is it limited?
Well, it's limited because it's been out, because they want to win and there's no place other than that. And look at Howie Roseman trading a fifth-round pick just to move up one pick just to secure that nobody else could get in there and get the guy they want. That's how intense. These guys could work for the CIA. They would be better than the CIA people. Well, that's how intense it is. So they don't care. They're going to get the guy that they want. Who do you have, Jeff, that's a Nepo baby?
Yeah, Louis Giamona, former running back for the Eagles in the late 70s. You know.
Yeah, that was Dick Vermeil's nephew?
Correct.
Yeah.
He took a lot of flack in the press for that, having him on the team. I was in my late teens. I learned a new word, nepotism. I never heard that word. And, you know, so then all of a sudden. And then Wilbert went down, and then he came in. He had a 100-yard game backing him up.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, he was undersized, but he was ferocious the way that he played. But even then, people were dropping the nepotism. It was his nephew. Dick Vermeil, though, so tough. He was one of the new age of coaches sleeping in the thing and all. I don't know, you know, your nephew and all, but he's got to face, you know, the family. He wanted to win beyond almost anybody you've ever seen. So, guy was a decent player. Bomb squatter, that kind of, he was willing to do anything. Okay, coming up, Ian Pryor. We first met him, he just popped, I guess, Dan, 4 or 5, when you were starting almost, I think. And this Chablis mob or something, he called them, in the suburbs of Virginia, Maryland, these Tony towns, affluent. Now we have this Supreme Court case. You can't opt out of the most ferocious stuff that your kid has. You're only told, well, then get out of the public schools. That's what the progressives are saying. Otherwise, you're not going to have a safe ground to opt out. We'll talk with him about that case and its meaning coming up, and we'll get some more on the nepotism thing. You know, it's said you don't just visit Sicily. You're going to fall head over heels in love with it, not just because of Sicily and all the people that have been there, because we're there too. You're going with Ro, me, and tons of Talk Radio 1210 listeners. By the way, they even advertise with other talk stations. We've done the last one to... Rome and Venice, there were people there that were consumers of talk radio, met us. It's that kind of camaraderie. After all, the people that take us to this Mediterranean hotspot in Sicily and Calabria, they're called conservative tours. That's who they are. Ken Chase. The best that you're going to find. All this, $55.44, that includes airfare. The dining events alone, they're the very best. The food, the wine, and the local color that you get. But we'll hit bustling Palermo, the Quattrocante, stunning Monreal, the Palace of the Normans. Call them now, or if you've already called and gotten the information, sign up. Let's get going. We're increasing the numbers every day, 888-733-9494, or go to conservativetours.com. Don't forget the added bonus, the Godfather Tour. We visit locales from the movie, all three. The crown jewel of Sicily, Taormina, Savoca will hit, the Valley of the Temples, Mount Etna, Sicily, ancient, charming. Call 888-733-9494. All right, an old favorite of ours is with us. Well, old, and he hasn't been on in a while. Ian Pryor burst onto the scene because of all the nonsense, as I believe at the time it was in Virginia, and what they were doing around the number one rated school in America. And is that abated a little bit? Well, in Maryland, we have this story where now parents are told, and we've been playing the Supreme Court cuts of this, kids as young as pre-K cannot opt out from this indoctrination around trans characters, the agenda, the whole thing. Usually they say, we're going to do it in schools and you're going to have to go to the trouble to opt out. Too many people want to opt out. Ian Pryor is with America First Legal. He's a senior advisor there, the group founded, I think, by Stephen Miller, who I did see in Washington the other day, just saying, let's go.
It's not him.
Let's go to Ian Pryor. Was Stephen Miller in Washington the other day, Ian? Do you know?
I would assume so. Yeah,
I saw him. We were at the White House, and I'm being told, and you know, it was a youngish looking guy who was bald talking on the phone. And
Ian, this guy sees a youngish guy with a bald head, skinny, angular features. Stephen Miller.
No, yeah, there no. you go.
Yeah, I see him on the lawn all the time doing those great interviews. So I'm sure he was there.
All right, thank you, Steve, Ian, for that. So, Ian, the phrase you used, the Chablis mob, was that it?
Chardonnay Antifa.
There you go. Yeah, that's it. Coming around this. So this attorney the other day, I don't know if you were at the court or not. I know you're advising in this. Really, with a judge like Gorsuch, Alito I've had on the show, and Alito will come back at you. Gorsuch is not that type of guy. This guy was a punk to me and the stuff he was arguing when Gorsuch said, well, I have read it. What are you talking about? It's not just a book on the shelf that we're talking about. And the characters are in drag and leather and everything else. But the stunning thing, what's their argument why you can't opt out with a pre-K kid or first grader on this?
I mean, it appears that their argument is it would be unworkable because so many people right. would opt out, which, I mean, that ought to tell you everything right there. But, you know, what you see with these sort of woke school boards is this is their worldview. This is their belief on how government works. You elect us to the school board and we get to do everything we want, and if you don't like it, you can just elect a new school board next time. Of course, we know that's not how things really work, especially when you live in a very blue district, for instance, and these are not high turnout elections, and a lot of people don't pay attention to what's going on at their local school board. And of course, you have this little thing called the United States Constitution, which means that you don't just get to do what you want and wait till elections. But they sort of believe in pure democracy, right? Whereas we have a system of checks and balances. And so that's really the problem that you see across America is these school districts, you know, they don't believe that the law applies to them. They don't believe the Constitution applies to them. All they think matters is that they get elected and they can do whatever they want.
That is well put. And Judge Ketanji Brown essentially added to that in her bubble and saying, well, if you don't like it, you can just go to a private school. Well, she can, but a lot of these people apparently can't.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Justice Jackson there made a great, compelling argument for school choice.
Yes.
But we don't currently have school choice throughout the country. And, yeah, I mean, the tone deafness of that comment, I think, was just absurd. I think it was Justice Alito that kind of came back to that and said, well, yeah, look, if you're a lawyer arguing before the Supreme Court, chances are you're able to send your kids to private school, or you're a Supreme Court justice or a judge. But for most people, you can't do that. And so you become captive to what the government is doing to your children. And there was a lot of talk in this, you know, in the oral argument about, well, are these things just on the shelf? No, they're not on the shelf. They have to read them like five times a year to these kids. And that's where you get that Gorsuch moment where he's going through some of these books and doing it. And just, I mean, I thought it was hilarious. It's not funny, but it is funny in some ways, but sort of the deadpan manner in which he was like reading this stuff, you know?
And also, why is this? I mean, I have my suspicions why. I couldn't quite tell. They were arguing about, well, is this set apart in human sexuality? Why do you have it in the English curriculum and literature? Is that so they can do it more? Why are they doing that?
Yeah, so my understanding is that, you know, things like family life education, you know, it's mandated by state law that there is an opt-out there, right? As opposed to sort of at the local level. So you've got a mandated state opt-out for health. And so people will take advantage of that. Now they can't change the state law. So they're like, well, we're just going to put this in English. We're going to use it. We're going to hide it in English. Therefore you can't opt out because there's no state law and we're not putting it under the family life education rubric.
Ian, when I'm watching this, I think back to even Joe Biden agreed with this, the Hyde Amendment, which said, look, America is so divided over abortion. You don't have to fund this. This opt-out thing is very similar to it. It was always, look, you're going to be inconvenienced. You may not like it. It's a lot of yada, yada, yada. But we always are going to do that just as a matter of protecting themselves or throwing you a bone. They're saying no bone here. We're not doing it.
Yeah, I think there was also a lot of talk about is Montgomery County Public Schools sort of the only school district in America that's doing this? Maybe in some way, maybe in having a formal no opt-out policy, it may be the only school that's doing it. But I'll tell you that other schools are certainly doing it just in an informal way. So, you know, for example, you find out that your child is 6 years old and has to listen to a reading about a book on how a, you know, doctor guessed at your sex when you were born. And you call up the teacher and say, well, you know, I don't want my kid to do this anymore. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know, that we just don't have a process for that. So it really amounts to the same thing at different school systems. It's just that Montgomery County Public Schools was so blatant about it, where, you know, they said, well, we have an opt out and now we're just going to get rid of it. And I think that's clearly something that concerned the Supreme Court. And look, I think Brett Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh, was his exchange was really interesting. You know, he talked about Maryland. He said how he lives in Maryland. Maryland was a bastion for, you know, religious freedom. And then he said, you know, is this really the hill you want to die on? And followed up with, you know, basically almost saying to the attorney for Montgomery County Public Schools, hey, look, I think you've done a decent job arguing here because you got a crappy case.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That was what I read into his comments. And, you know, I think you're looking, if you're counting, I count at least five justices that would most likely vote in favor of the petitioners. But I also, you know, I couldn't really tell on Roberts because he didn't have many questions. But I also thought what was interesting is Justice Kagan. Because, you know, she's not quite as I'm just going to go the, you know,
yes,
farthest left I can. She actually thinks through some things. And, you know, she seemed very concerned with some of this stuff. I think, you know, she was struggling with, well, how do we shape a decision that's limited in some fashion? Where's the limit? Where do we draw the line?
Right.
But I mean, she said flat out that, look, I could see a lot of parents being upset about this stuff for reasons beyond religion, which is
exactly
absolutely correct.
One other area here, too. Tell us about the special, the secret sauce in this. A number of the parents, or at least some, are Muslim. And this school district doesn't even seem to care about that. Usually we've seen this battle that they tread lightly and there's got to be some opt out because they don't want to conflict with that group.
Yeah, I think that what you've seen in a lot of cases is sort of a unification of these parents based that transcends religion, right?
Right.
I mean, there's Christians, Islam, Judaism, right? Hindus, all of them are starting to, you know, band together on these issues. And we've got a case out in Bethel, Ohio, that it's Christians and it's Muslims. They don't appreciate the fact that, you know, their daughters have to use a bathroom with males. And I think it's like everything else with the left. They're gonna go where they think, you know, they're gonna be lauded the most as saviors, right? And so they'll be more than happy to ignore people that, you know, they may have advocated for in the past, based on, you know, what their new flavor is, right? And that is, okay, well, now we need to stick up for the 2% of people that actually support this transgender lunacy. And that's where they are, because they have no moral conviction. You know, if they had a moral conviction, they'd sit there and say, all right, well, look, the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, that's a pretty important one. Transgender, whatever you think of that, it's not an immutable characteristic. We have to apply some standards here, and, you know, somebody unfortunately is not going to get all of what they want. But no, they're not going to do that. They're going to stand up for the most ludicrous proposition and fight for, you know, the one person whose parents are the loudest and will make their lives the most miserable.
Exactly.
And those people are the ones that want these books read to your children in class.
Ian Pryor, great to have you back as this continues. Where do people find you?
They can go to aflegal.org. We've got a lot of cases in this area, and we're always looking for more. And I think that, you know, certainly since November, we're seeing some great action from the administration as well. So we're going to keep up this fight.
Ian, thank you. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Ian Pryor here on Talk Radio 1210. We'll have more next week, maybe the parents at some point. As this continues, he's right. It could be 7-2 on this. Although, I'm not sure of Amy Coney Barrett. It is the lightning round now coming up, and we'll get a winner for that $50 gift card, 855-839-1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
That's right. Coming off, and since it's night, we still haven't seen the Sanders guy drafted yet. He'll get drafted tonight, though. That'll be an outrage. We'll get Jamal Bowman on the show. I'm telling you, that would be explosive.
Job.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to Joe in Columbus. Joe, who's that Nepo baby?
Dom, every time over the years I've seen him at the Senate Ethics Committee hearing and the violators were sitting there taking it from this guy, I begged my TV, screaming at my TV, just look at this guy and say, he's going to teach me about ethics. Can we get somebody else in here? Anybody but him, because he left a woman to drown in a creek. And that's Ted Kennedy.
As Tom Maher would call him, Senator Hot Pants. The Chappaquiddick, yeah.
Wouldn't he know about ethics? But he was put in his place because of who his father was.
Yeah, you can make the argument the other Kennedys, you know, as thuggish as they were at least the real deal, not Teddy Kennedy. That's a good point. Earl of Tacony. Earl, who's yours today?
I have the oldest one, I think, the original Nepo baby. Robert Gascoigne Cecil, the third Marquess of Salisbury, was the British Prime Minister in 1887. He went and he appointed his unqualified nephew, Arthur Balfour, as the Chief Secretary of Ireland. So one day he was a nobody, then he was Chief Secretary of Ireland, and Bob's your uncle. That's where the term Bob's your uncle comes from, where anything that's easy to do, mainly because you have family connections, Bob's your uncle.
Gotcha. Wow. It reminds me, Dan, of Jim McGreevy. You know, it's one thing if you have a friend, you know the McGreevy backstory. If not, I'll tell you off air. He appointed the friend.
Yes, I know it.
If he appointed him in Jersey Secretary of Trash Removal, that's one thing. He was, as I remember it, Secretary of Homeland Security in Jersey. This was after 9/11, too. That's pretty bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe of Exton. Joe, who's yours?
It's a very Joe answer today.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Hello, Dom, and a good Easter Friday.
Yes! Combo, Joe.
Nicely played, Joe. Keep it going.
Every day,
yes.
Joe. Good
every
job.
Day, yes.
Speaking of nepotism, the ultimate example of nepotism is that of God the Father sending his son, Jesus Christ, to rescue mankind from the polytheism of the Egyptians and the Romans.
Joe, who was he going to send instead, though? It's not like he had, like,
Frank over in
the corner. It's like, I'm going to pick my son Jesus over here.
He's going to be crucified to sacrifice for us, Joe. All right, Joe, thank you. We're getting in trouble. I don't see it that way, Joe. That's not nepotism. I got the role. Well, wait a minute. What's involved in a role? Surely it can't be that. Oh, my goodness. Man. Okay. Dan, who do you like here?
I like Joe's answer today. I thought that was fun, I guess. Question mark. Frank in Burlington, Bronny James, Lance in South Philly, Hunter Biden, another big answer.
Yes, Henry?
I'll throw in Chelsea Clinton.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good answer, man.
I got to go with Hunter Biden. Lance, we didn't think it. Hunter Biden. All right. We have five winners now, and we're going to roll the dice.
Yeah. So
or
run
die.
Through them real quick. Yes. Nicknames on Monday, Drew in Upper Derby with El Popo Alfonseca, played for the Phillies. Tuesday, Shocking Deaths, Chris Malvern with Rush Limbaugh. Wednesday, famous addresses, Joe in Columbus said E Street and 10th Avenue. yesterday. We asked for that all-time bad idea, Tom Marlton with Prohibition. You just heard it there. That all-time Nepo baby lands in South Philly. So if we do a little drum roll and roll the dice here. You're going to like this, Dom. Number five, Lance in South Philly. You are this week's winner.
Wow. Hey, Lance, remember that. When you get a call at about midnight, I got a groundhog problem, Lance. Get
Did
over
Earl
here.
Give me a weighted dice? That's 2 weeks in a row. We rolled a five for a Friday winner. Yeah.
I was just rolling it earlier because there are holes in this thing. I didn't want to say.
Earl, what are you doing to us, man?
It was affecting the rolls.
So, Lance, you have a $50 gift card to Gallo's Seafood and Harb's Burger Bar in Northeast Philadelphia. Visit them online at gallosandburgerbar.com. Bob Harvey. This does Jim Harvey does unbelievable work there. So get on over this weekend. Ro loves the seafood salad at Gallo's. All right, good stuff. And Lance, well deserved. Monday, I know Scott Presler's got a lot to report on Monday. National Day of Prayer coming up. So one of a really just sweetheart coming on to talk about that. There's a local version of it, but. We're counting down to the 100 days, which happened on Wednesday, and we'll be bringing some people in on that. Have a great weekend. Follow on Twitter, though, until then, at DomShow1210 and DomShow1210. And I played today. Jalen Hurts not answering. Is he going to the White House on Monday? I don't know what time they're there. Henry, do you happen to know? Is it around noon or so?
Usually not off the top of my head, no.
Oh, come on. They got to be there at noon so we can I can win a pizza.
It has to be.
Because I would say two or three are not going to go. All right. Matt Rooney is in for Rich today in studio. He's next. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.